things that go bump in the night. How many of you are still afraid of the dark? Don't be shy. Thank you, Elsa. One person who went ahead and said that she, even as an adult, is still afraid of the dark from time to time. And I say still because it seems a common thing for most people at some point of their childhood to be afraid of the dark. My 6-year-old grandson struggles at bedtime the moment the lights go off. After he has heard his bedtime story, said his prayers with his hands held reverently in front of him, and has been tucked in tightly on all sides and ready for sleep, all is well until his mother turns off the bedside lamp. Immediately, once that lamp goes off, a boy who was once so tired that his eyes were drifting closed during the story sits up with a heart racing, eyes wide open, reaching for his mom as he begs her to stay with him, or at the very least, please turn the light back on. He is afraid of the dark. And for him, the night light isn't enough to keep at bay his fear of the things that go bump in the night. Perhaps some of you are like my young godson, still afraid of the darkness, still afraid of the things that go on around you that you can only see dimly and have a difficult time understanding. Still afraid and anxious about a future that may seem shrouded in the darkness of uncertainty. Still living through the lens of a past filled with darkness and with the darkness of pain. It seems that darkness can descend upon us even in the broad daylight, in the midst of a wedding ceremony in New Hampshire, in the doctor's office when you receive the dreaded diagnosis, or on your job when you receive the proverbial pink slip and that lets you know that you are no longer employed. I'm here to tell you this morning that darkness is not just a state caused by the absence of light, but that darkness, true darkness, is the result of the absence of peace, the absence of joy, and the absence of confidence that everything, despite what we see or don't see, will still be all right. Howard Thurman calls it the nighttime of the soul. In our text for this morning, the writer of the gospel is writing to encourage a people who are coming out of 400 years of nighttime. Before the arrival of the light of the world, during the intertestamental period, that time between the Old and the New Testaments, it is said that God stopped talking to the children of Israel. During this period, there were no prophets that came to them on behalf of the Lord. There was no guidance from on high. And the Romans sent governors into the land that ruled the region with various levels of violent oppression. If one was Jewish during this period, there were many reasons for despair, and it was difficult to avoid feeling shrouded in darkness, gloom, and doom, even at the height of day. It is against this backdrop of nighttime of the soul and despair that Jesus was born. After 400 years of silence from God, God uttered what was spoken at creation and that we hear in the opening words of Genesis, "Let there be light." And just as the light of creation interrupted the dark and void that God hovered over, so too Jesus' light interrupts the darkness of the soul that the Jews faced some 2,000 years ago and that we face today. The first thing that we need to know is that darkness in and of itself is not bad. Darkness is not bad. What is bad is the chaos that sometimes accompanies the darkness that causes the problems. This text echoes the creation story found in Genesis. As I read over it, I wondered, because as I was doing my study, I not only read this Gospel of John, but I also read Genesis. And as I was looking at the creation story as presented in Genesis, I wondered, when God created light, why didn't God abolish darkness altogether? Why, when God created light, did God not create 24 hours of light? Why wasn't darkness obliterated altogether at creation? I pondered this all week and wrestled not only with the Genesis text, but with our gospel text, and I come to believe that it is because darkness is not the problem so much as how we respond to the darkness in our lives. Good things happen in the darkness. A child is nurtured and grows in the complete darkness of a mother's womb. It is in the darkness of night that most of us rest and recover from the trials of the day. And it was shrouded in silence and darkness that God first brooded over and began the project and process of creation. Good things can happen in the dark. At creation, and once again at the coming of Christ, God addressed the chaos that threatened her created beings. God looked around and saw the pain that was inflicted on people. God looked at the devastation that war was causing. God looked at the damage that greed was doing, and God sent light, not to destroy the darkness, but to disrupt its power over our lives. Jesus came as light to disrupt the forces of oppression in the land and in the synagogue. Jesus came as light to disturb the comfort and complacency of those who had much. Jesus came as light to provide hope, healing, and happiness to those who had little. Jesus came as light to bring life and life more abundantly to all people. The text says that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness does not extinguish the light. But what the text doesn't say is that the light does not extinguish the darkness either. Which brings us to the next thing I would like to point out, and that is that the light that Jesus brings is not an extinguishing light, but a revealing light. So often we want God to destroy all the things that hurt us, all the things that we fear in the world, all the things that bring darkness to our souls and to our spirits. We want God to eradicate them all, but what God says is that I'm not going to extinguish the darkness, but I'm going to use my light to reveal the problems within the darkness. Later in this gospel, John wrote, "The light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil." Light shows what is going on in the dark. My great-grandmother used to say all the time, "What you do in the dark is gonna come to light, sister. You better get your life right." Thanks, Big Mama. What's done in the darkness will one day come to light, because the light strips away all disguises and shows things as they really are. So last week, I got to go back to last week. I announced that I finally completed the Marie Kondoing of my clothing and that I released 180 items. Excuse me, 108. I got a little ahead of myself. 108 items. We all applauded because I had been working on this from Lent, but what I didn't tell you was the catalyst that put me into motion to refocus on my Lenten exercise. See, I got a visit from Jill and Gary. Every year, someone from SPR and someone from the trustees has to go through the parsonage. Now, last year, I had just been here for a little while when we had to do this parsonage walkthrough. So I was able to stave them off and keep them out of my bedroom by saying, I'm not done packing in there. So if you don't mind, I'd rather you not go in the bedroom. But Jill and Gary came armed for the parsonage visit. The first thing they told me as I tried to steer them away from the bedroom into the downstairs region, all on the main floor, was that, Pastor, we've got to get into your bedroom.
Wait, what?
Today? Yeah, Pastor, we're doing the walkthrough today, and we've got to get into your bedroom. Okay. Okay. They've got to see the entire house. Okay. Needless to say, I didn't want them to go into the bedroom, because in my bedroom was the darkness of the chaos in my life. I knew that if Gary and Jill went into my bedroom, that a light would be shine on the mess that was my mounds of boxes. Yes, I still had clothes in large boxes and bins and on top of the bed and at the foot of the bed that I had yet to unpack, though I had been there a year. The truth of the matter is that most of my time spent in my bedroom is spent in the dark. So it was easy for me to ignore my chaos. All I had to do was turn off the light and fall asleep and never have to deal with my mess. I could go into my bedroom, take my shower in the bathroom, get into my bed after pushing a few things over, and turn off the light and not have to face the fact that chaos was among me. The shining of the light on my bedroom is much like that light that Jesus shines on our world and in the midst of our lives. Jesus' light allows us to see ourselves and our conditions as they really are, and they strengthens us to face all the places and spaces that we have allowed to descend into chaos. The light shining on the darkness of chaos in our lives allows us the ability to see clearly what is wrong and the capacity to set it aright. I was so embarrassed that my chaotic bedroom was exposed because I was finally able to see it through the eyes of two other people and recognize it was a problem that needed a solution. Because that light was shined, I was able to see what needed fixing, and enough light remained to get the job done. It is the same with our relationship with Jesus. We never see ourselves truly, chaos and all, until we see ourselves through the eyes of the one who is the light. It is Jesus' light that enables us to recognize our chaos, and it is that same light that leads us to my final observation. And that observation is the light that Jesus brings is a guiding light. Again, later in this gospel, the writer further explores the presence of darkness and declares that when someone walks in darkness, he does not know where he goes. When he receives the light and believes the light, however, he no longer walks in darkness. When Jesus comes into our lives, guessing and groping and fumbling about all around our lives are ended. The darkness that surrounds us ceases, and we are able to follow along the path that leads to righteousness. The psalmist said it like this: "The Lord is my light." When y'all singing that? "And my salvation, the Lord is my light." And my salvation, whom shall I fear? What God is trying to tell us this morning is that we don't have to be afraid of the things that go bump in the night, because Jesus' light can lead us out of the darkness. Jesus' light, the KJV says the word, but in any case, the word of God is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The good news is that if we find ourselves surrounded by chaotic darkness, if we look up and find ourselves lost, stumbling along a path that we cannot see, if we find ourselves descending into the depths of nighttime of our soul, that we have a Savior who has promised to take us out of the darkness and into the glorious light. I once heard a story of a young girl who was much like my godson. She was afraid of the dark. One night, as her father was putting her to bed, she begged him not to leave her, because she was afraid of the things that go bump around the night. He assured her that everything would be all right, and that there was nothing in her dark bedroom that could hurt her, but she could not be consoled. And finally, her father agreed to stay in her room with her. And as he sat quietly beside her on the bed, she finally fell into a deep and restful sleep. She was able to sleep in peace because she knew that her father was with her. She was able to let go and sink into the darkness because she knew that if anything went bump in the night and he was there with her, that he would protect her. I'm here to tell you this morning that the light is still with us. We don't have to stay hidden from the world and its chaos, but we can go bravely into the world with the light of Christ guiding our way. We can go into it with the light of Christ revealing what we are to do to eradicate the pain and suffering that brings nighttime to so many. We can go out into the world with the light of Christ reminding us that the darkness isn't the problem. It is how we deal with the darkness that causes the problems. Christ Church, don't be afraid of the dark or the things that go bump in the night, because the same word that was with God and was God in the beginning is the same word that is with God and with God today. That same God that spoke to the darkness and chaos of creation still speaks to the darkness and chaos of our lives, declaring, "Let there be light." And that light is still the light and life of all people, and nothing can extinguish that light. Amen.